You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18. Peter came and said to Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and he could not pay. His Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay me what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have shown mercy to your fellow slave, as I had mercy on you?' And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or your sister from your heart." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Let us pray. Dear God, we confess to you that indeed we have felt tortured in our minds, reliving wrongs that have been done to us. And we know, God, that you have the power to set us free, to be merciful to us. And so help us by your Holy Spirit to practice forgiveness, not just because we have to, but because we will be healed ourselves in the process. Amen. Rhinoceros beetles are attracted to certain kinds of orange pressurized parking lot lights, especially if you're in the high desert, like I was growing up in Sedona, Arizona. It was my birthday, and I had had a birthday party with my friends at the park, and they all had to go home, but one friend could spend the night. So it was me and my best friend. And before we went home, we even got to stop at the video store where we could rent a video or maybe a video game to play on the Nintendo Entertainment System, NES, the original. So we picked out our videos, and we went outside and we had a few minutes to play while my parents finished the transaction, I don't know, maybe they were looking for a video that they would watch in the other room, and those rhinoceros beetles were crawling around, oh so tantalizing to a 10-year-old boy. So what did we do? Well, of course, we picked up rocks and started throwing them at the beetles. Seemed like a good idea to do when you're 10 or 11 years old. And they weren't big. They were little rocks, little decomposed granite pebbles, maybe trying to knock them off the sidewalk. Well, one of those little granite pebbles bounced off the sidewalk and oh so lightly hit a glass door, not of the video store, but of the one next door in the strip mall we were in. And the whole glass door disintegrated. Instantly fell to pieces. Tempered glass, safety glass, right? So what should we do? Have I told this story before? No? It's new? Okay, good. So we ran for it. We ran for it. Get out of there. We won't get caught. We won't get in trouble. So we started running halfway through the parking lot toward the Safeway and then realized, where are we going? My parents' car is parked right in front of the video store and the other store with the glass window that broke. So there was nothing to do but to walk back, to turn ourselves in, and to suffer the consequences. What a way to end a birthday. I remember going home and my dad getting a sheet of plywood and running it through the table saw, cutting it to size to put in their door, and finding out how much it cost to replace a tempered glass door. And our parents worked out a solution. We would split it in half and we would each work the cost of the door off. You know, but there was something that really nagged me about those rhinoceros beetles. The thing that really nagged me is, yeah, I might have thrown a couple pebbles, but I was like 95% sure I did not throw the pebble that broke that window. I was pretty darn sure. And as I worked and worked and sweat, and I had to literally earn those dollars to pay that door off, ooh, I held a bit of a grudge against my friend. I have to admit it. I thought, you know what? This is not fair. It was torture thinking about those rhinoceros beetles. And of course, this is a bit of a lighthearted story, right? Kids break windows. These things happen. And there are much more painful things that happen in life. And so you can imagine just how much we can feel tortured by an old memory. And that's how Jesus ends his parable, saying, when you don't practice forgiveness, it's like being tortured over and over by this wrong that has been done to you. Think about Joseph. Joseph was the main character in our reading from Genesis this morning. Thank you, Maria, for reading. Now, Joseph, his own brothers sold him into slavery. And they didn't just sell him into slavery, they were going to kill him. He was almost the youngest of all of his brothers. He was definitely the favorite of their dad. And so, yes, the older brothers were jealous. They were so jealous and angry at Joseph that, as the story goes, one day when they were out in the fields, they beat him up, and they were this close to actually killing him, their own brother. When one of the older brothers intervened and said, no, let's not do this, that's too far. Instead, we'll throw him in a pit, we'll leave him. And as the story unfolds, Joseph actually is sold as a slave to some wandering traders. Eventually, he goes to Egypt. He's a slave in Egypt. And through the amazing gifts that God gave him, he rises to the top and becomes second only to Pharaoh. when the famine hits the land and people could have died for not having enough, Joseph, by God's grace and the dreams that he was given, instructs the Egyptians to grow extra food for the coming drought and famine that will come. And because of all this, many, many lives are saved, just as we read about in Genesis. And so now, all these years later, Jacob, the father, has died, and the older brothers are worried because they said, you know what, maybe Joseph's just been nice to us out of respect for dad, and now that dad is gone, we are really worried what's going to happen. He could kick us out of Egypt. He could say, forget about the famine, you're on your own. And so they come to Joseph asking for forgiveness, and just by bringing it up, did you catch what happens? It's so painful that they all start to cry. Just by bringing it up, it says Joseph starts to weep, thinking about what happened to him. And the brothers all start to weep. So painful is it to bring up this past hurt. And Joseph chooses to forgive. And by choosing to forgive, a new chapter begins. God is able to heal, and there is new life. Sometimes when we think about forgiveness, we think it's sort of like taking vitamins. It's that thing that good people are supposed to do. I wake up every day, I brush my teeth, I exercise, and I take my vitamins. But I don't think that's what forgiveness is like at all. It's not like vitamins. It's not that good thing you're supposed to do to make yourself strong. No. Forgiveness is like an antibiotic. It's the difference between life and death. If you have an infection, you don't take your antibiotics because you want to be an extra good person. You take them because you don't want to die. It's the difference between having that infection grow and grow and grow and wiping it out. That's why when Peter comes to Jesus and says, okay, how many times do I have to, Jesus? Is it seven? As many as seven times? And that's why Jesus raises the number so high. Other translations don't say 77. They say 70 times seven. 490. The point is, it's supposed to be so many times that you lose count. Because it's not that have to you do to check off a box to be good with God, but rather it's a gift from God, a tool for you to use for your own healing and well-being. When a harm is done to you, of course, there is healing and pain that needs to be done to overcome it, and forgiveness is actually a part of that. It's you. It's for yourself to heal from a hurt that's been done to you. It's more about you healing yourself with God, really, than the other person. So how do we do it? Well, there's a couple of key things to keep in mind. One of the things about forgiveness that's so important, I learned in my birthday experience when I was growing up. As I mentioned, I was bothered by the fact that, you know, I probably wasn't the one that broke the window. But as time went by and I worked off the debt that I owed for that broken glass window, I actually had a time card that my dad would use in construction where the laborers would keep track of their hours, multiply it by how much you get paid, you know, a time card. Well, something pretty amazing happened. As I was working off the debt and working off the debt, one day I was like, I'm never going to fill this out. I'm never going to get to that amount. And I remember the time card being ripped. The debt was forgiven. My dad was generous. He said, you don't have to earn this off. I forgive you. Mistakes happen. And that gave me the strength and the grace to forgive my friend. And that's the point that Jesus wants us to see. God forgives us for our sins, for the wrongs that we commit. And if God forgives us every little sin and big sin that we do, it's the quantity is so vast, it's so huge, it's like the parable with the 10,000 talents. The amount that we have been forgiven by God is so massive, millions and billions and trillions of dollars that we could never get to. That gives us the strength to forgive our friends and our neighbors for wrongs that have been done to us. Now, I would actually argue that there's a difference between forgiving and forgetting, because I don't believe God calls us to suffer the same hurts over and over again. And so it is okay to have boundaries. God calls us to have boundaries in our life and to not be hurt in that same way again, and to make our lives better and to make better choices, to not throw rocks at rhinoceros beetles. I learned. God doesn't want us to suffer. That's not what forgiveness is about. It's not allowing the same hurts to happen to us over and over again. It's about setting a boundary where there needs to be, forgiving so that we can heal and that we can move forward. We are able to forgive because God first forgave us. So let us go forth and do that. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.